The scripture of this service is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Senior Deaconess Hassan Kwon will read the scripture. Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I'll read it for you. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded it with them, and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in a charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I will have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what it does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. The title of this message is March Forward. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the members of 8,000 brain churches in the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, the Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and other countries, and local sanctuaries in Korea, and members who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and all GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers. It is the 2009 Church Workers Devotional Service. A worker is a general term for somebody who works for a certain organization or a company. Let's give all glory and thanks to Father God. A worker is a general term for somebody who works for a certain organization or a company. But church workers are not only the pastors and Levi workers who work in the church. Everyone who is working for God's kingdom with a title and position in the church is called a church worker. Therefore, elders, senior deaconesses, deacons and deaconesses, and junior deaconesses are all church workers. God the Father has given us the message with the title March Forward for this church workers' devotional service. It is such an encouraging title for this year 2009, our year of blessing. Repeat after me today's title message. March forward. March forward. March forward. It means, as it says, to go forward in marching ever. God the Father wants all of us to be united as one and march forward together. He wants us to look forward to the vision that He has given to this church that had only faith and that marched forward to achieve the dream. This church has been marching forward to achieve the goal until this very day. But till now, it was like putting one stepping stone in a place at a time and then taking one step at a time. But now, those stepping stones all together have become a strong bridge. This bridge is the connection to our dreams and visions, and the bridge that connects us to the whole world. Therefore, now we can just march forward and harvest all the blessings that prepared by God the Father. In order to do this, it's very important to maintain ranks and files well. When the formation breaks down, it's difficult to get to the destination, even if we are walking on a very well-paved road. We have to gather around the guidon, and thousands of, or even tens of thousands of people have to move like one person, progressing towards the goal. And depending on what kind of heart we have while we march on, we will get proper fruit. In an army, those well-trained soldiers keep and maintain their formation very well. When they stand, when they walk, when they march, they keep and maintain their formation very well. But what about the resigned soldiers? Even though they served in the army, but once they got out of it, they don't maintain their formation well. I hope not only the church workers, but all the members will gain life and strength through this message and vigorously march forward on the road of blessings. Dear church workers and members, what do we have to do to march forward to accomplish the visions given to this church? First, you have to trust the shepherd and obey him. That's because God has set him up as the essential glue of this church that binds everyone. Well, I'm sorry to talk about me, but our Lord is the shepherd, and the senior pastor in your church can become your shepherd too. Who was the central figure of a nation of Israel when the sons of Israel were marching towards the promised land of Canaan? It was Moses. Moses became the central figure of the people because God saw his inner heart, acknowledged him, and selected him. Even though Aaron, the elder brother of Moses, was a well-spoken orator, he could be no more than a helper to Moses. Aaron worked as the spokesman for Moses from the start of the Exodus from Egypt. God gave Aaron to Moses since Moses was not a very good speaker. Therefore, in physical sense, Aaron could have looked more competent than Moses because he could speak better. But the only leader who was acknowledged by God was Moses. Therefore, if somebody considered himself as Moses' equal or criticized or despised Moses, it was unacceptable before God. And it's because it was same as being critical of God and despising him as the one who set Moses as the leader. For example, in Numbers chapter 12, Moses' sister Miriam and her brother Aaron passed judgment on and criticized Moses. They said, "Has God spoken only with Moses? Has he not spoken with us?"
When God heard what they said, he called Aaron and Miriam to stand before the tent of meeting and spoke to them. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth." Father God shows visions to prophets, but Moses was different. Father God talked to him face to face and mouth to mouth, not in visions, not in dreams. Even openly, and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. So Moses was acknowledged servant by God. "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" This is what Father God said. Then Miriam became leprous. You know, Miriam criticized her own brother. And this is what happened. Father God didn't forgive her. Aaron also repented, asking for God's forgiveness and mercy. However, the prayer that God answered was not their prayer, but the prayer of Moses. They repented, but Father God didn't listen to them. But when Moses prayed, Father God listened to him and forgave them. When Moses cried out in prayer, God heard him and answered. It's not that God's love was biased towards Moses. Numbers 12, verse 3 says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." So he was faithful in all God's hold, and he was humble more than anybody else on the face of the earth. That's why Father God selected Moses. Moses was humble more than anyone on the earth. So gentleness and humbleness is very important. If you are gentle, you have virtue, you have love, and you will be equipped with many things. God sees the inner heart of man, and he knew that Moses was the most appropriate choice to become the leader, and he set Moses up within his justice. There are many servants of God who sent me letters. And they asked me to receive the power of God. So please pray for us. They asked me to pray for them. There are many servants of God who listen to my messages. They request my prayer. But even if I pray, the power of God cannot be given to them. The Bible says what the people of God was like. They were sanctified, they were full of gentleness and humbleness and everything. They loved God more than anyone and anything on the face of the earth. No matter how much they were threatened, even though they were thrown into the dens of lions, they didn't compromise with the world. They loved God more than anything in the world. And they were even gave up their life. If they are such people, then they will surely pray to God, and they will be given the power of God. And they will receive the power and authority from God. Therefore, in God's sight, Moses was the primary choice, taking precedence in all aspects. It is the same with you. If you become like Moses, then you will receive the power and you will receive the authority. Aaron, Miriam, and the elders of the people just had to do their duty as of Moses' helpers, according to their talents. God would not accept it if they tried to be ahead of Moses or consider themselves equal to Moses. It was the same when Joshua succeeded Moses. God said in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Don't be confused here, okay?
It means, you know, Joshua is better than Moses, okay?
So during the lifespan of Joshua, God would not forsake him. That's what he said, okay? When Joshua delivered the will of God to the people, they trusted Joshua and obeyed him. That's why they crossed the Jordan River. They circled the city of Jericho. When they disobeyed Joshua, they couldn't conquer the small city of Ai. Before they crossed the Jordan River, he told them to sanctify themselves, and they just obeyed. Before the miracles and works of God, Father God made his people sanctified first. This is the secret to receive answer, all the elders and the male members. If you want to receive blessing in your business, you have to sanctify yourself first. You have to sanctify yourself. You have to pray all the time. You have to attend every services. But Father God searches your inner heart, and you have to sanctify your heart without any form of evil. Then you'll be able to live by the word of God. Instead of getting, you know, angry, you will give the other cheek when someone hits you on your right cheek. When someone asks for your clothes, you will give him even your cloak, underwear. You should have this kind of heart, sanctified heart, the heart without evil. If you become like that, then you will be acknowledged at your work, and your business will be prosperous, and you will become the leaders, not the tails. Your business will be prosperous. It is the word of God, so it is absolute. In this year of blessing, if you want to receive this blessing, you have to prepare your vessel like this. To the extent how much you have cultivated your heart into this kind of vessel, you will receive that much blessing. Then they crossed the flooding Jordan River on dry land and marched on towards the Canaan land. They could conquer the city of Jericho because they trusted and obeyed Joshua, who was delivering the will of God to them. The high priests and priests and all the elders and all the people, they all became one and obeyed Joshua. Nobody complained against Joshua. When they were told to circumcise themselves, they just obeyed and did it. When they were told to go around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and seven times on the seventh day, they just obeyed it. So total of how many? Total of 13 circles. If you read the Bible carefully, you can easily spot it. When I went to the revival meetings in Korea, I asked the listeners, how many times the people of Israelites circle
the city of Jericho. They said seven times. It's not 13 times? Then they say no, it's seven times. Even though they read the Bible, they don't get the exact figure and meaning. You should read the Bible carefully, and you have to correctly understand it. And you have to put it in your heart. So I explained to them. For 6 days, they go around the city once a day. But on the seventh day, they go around the city seven times. So the total is 13 times. By that time, I was curious. How could those people go around the city seven times? But I went to a pilgrimage trip. I could understand it. The size was not that big. I think it would take just more than an hour to go around the city once. After I went to a pilgrimage trip, I could understand. So they obeyed without any complaints as one heart. When they were marching around the city of Jericho, they also did what God told them to do through Joshua. As they were told not to speak, they just marched around without speaking at all. All the people together shouted at the moment that God told them to shout, and the city, the wall was collapsed. As they believed and obeyed the words of God given to Joshua, they saw this amazing work of God. Even the experts in battles just obeyed, believing that the word of Joshua was the word of God and the best strategy. Nobody had any objection. Nobody thought, what if we are attacked by the enemy while we walk around the city unarmed? You know, the enemy inside the city are well-armed. They're all well-armed because they knew the Israelites would come to attack them. But they just believed and completely trusted that the word of Joshua was the will of the Almighty God and obeyed him. They obeyed him. In 2009, God the Father is asking the church workers for this kind of trust and obedience. God wants you to trust the shepherd, and he wants you to trust him 100% from the heart, without initiating any thought of man. You shouldn't say anything against the will of the shepherd, saying something like, I trust the shepherd, but about this matter, he doesn't understand it correctly, and he shouldn't do something like that. If you have the attitude of service with 100% trust from the heart, you will only say yes and amen in all things. You will not give any excuses or reasons for doubt. You won't give any excuses or reasons. I hope all your church workers will be united as one with complete trust and obedience and march forward powerfully towards the goal. You may think like that. Well, senior pastor may not know everything. He can make a mistake too. What if he makes a mistake? And we obey. Even if I make a mistake, Father God makes everything work for good. We have experienced it from the start of the church. Even though I made a mistake, Father God made everything work for the good. dear church workers and members, in order to march forward to achieve the visions of the church. Second, each one has to work faithfully according to his own talent, but you have to help each other being united as one. When the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they camped surrounding the tabernacle. While, as you can see on screen, while they were going towards the Canaan, they repeated the cycle of marching and camping 30 times or so. They had to set up the tabernacle and take it back down many times. And sometimes, some pastors and speakers should not be confused with the Bible. In the early 1980s, I prayed to God, and Father God told me that Hebrews is written by Apostle Paul. So when you listen to what I'm saying, you should remember. And you should know exactly what books in the New Testament Apostle Paul wrote. And the Levites were in charge of handling the tabernacle. And when they were marching, they had to carry it in an approaching manner, appropriate manner, and when they camped, they had to set it up again. From Numbers chapter 4, we can see that this work was mainly divided into three parts. The three different families of the sons of Levi were each put in charge of their own work. The families of the sons of Korah took care of the instruments in the tabernacle, like the Ark of the Testimony and the altar of burnt offerings. The duties of the sons of Gerson involved the tabernacle and the tent, its covering, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting. The duties of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, and all its equipment. The tabernacle could be maintained because each family fulfilled their duties. Because the tabernacle was maintained, the sons of Israel could march on towards the Canaan land. Of course, the Ark of the Testimony is the most important thing, but they couldn't have the tabernacle with it only. They had to have all the pillars and other equipment. Therefore, we cannot say any of these three families among the Levites was in charge of something more important than other families. Everyone was important and absolutely needed. It's the same for you, church workers. In the parable of the talents in today's scripture, we can see each one received different numbers of talents. One was given five, another two, and the other one talent. Talents refer to, people have different capabilities, right? Talents refer to faith, hope, and love in a spiritual sense, and it also refers to each one's physical talents. Each one has different measure of faith and different physical talents. And if these different talents are combined as one, it can have a very strong power. With this, we can do great things of God. Everybody has different measure of faith. What about those who have good faith, strong hope, and very abundant love with good physical talents? They can do great jobs. But not all of them can receive all of this. Even though one person has great talents, he cannot accomplish all the works of God by himself. Therefore, even if you are given five talents, you should not say you will do everything all by yourself. Also, even if you are given only one talent, you should not just sit back doing nothing. Those who are given five talents have to work to the full extent of those. And those who are given one talent also have to work to do to the full extent according to what they are given. Also, those with five talents must not look down on those who are given only one talent. They should understand God has given them five talents to compensate for the more empty parts of those who are given but the one talent.
Also, those who were given one talent must not become jealous of those who were given five. In the kingdom of God, there is no envy and jealousy. There is no breaking of peace. It's not allowed, because it is the work of Satan. Satan instigates the heart of people to become envious and jealous. In the case of Adam, Cain was jealous of his younger brother Abel, and he killed his own brother. It was the first murder case in the history of human beings. But it was the work of Satan, breaking peace, become jealous. So it's not allowed in a church. You should think more along the lines, I'm thankful that she can cover my shortcomings. She is taking care of what I cannot do for the kingdom of God, so I'm very happy. It is a sure heart, right, that you should have. Likewise, I hope all the church workers will not look at the shortcomings of others, but only the good points. The important thing is not the number of talents that one has been given, but the inner heart of those who have the talents. Of course, if those with five talents work faithfully and accomplish great things, their reward will be great in heaven too. But at the same time, if those with one talent do their best even in small things with good and lovely hearts, God is pleased with them as well. Then God can give them greater duties later. From today's scripture, verses 22 and 23, we can see that the one with the two talents and the one with the five talents both received the same praises and blessings when both of them had gained double amount of what they were initially given. If the person with one talent produced the double amount of what he was given, he would have earned the praises and blessings too. Therefore, the important thing is, each of you should work faithfully according to your talents and be united as one in peace and cooperation. If all of you become one like this in faithfulness and unity as one, we can march forward and we can march forward towards our goals at a higher speed. Dear church workers and members, in order to march forward toward the vision of this church, third, we have to have firm hearts to think only in truth, not compromising with any kind of unrighteousness. It means we have to have holiness. In Numbers chapter 25, there was a plague among the sons of Israel who were going towards the Canaan without hindrance. Yet their 24,000 were dead. You know the plague, right? Why did this plague come upon them? At the time, Israel had remained on the plains of Moab after taking the land of Sihon, the king of Amorites, and the land of Og, and the king of Bashan. And Numbers 25 verses 1 to 3 says, while Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal or Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The sons of Israel heard from Moses again and again for 40 years in the wilderness that they had to serve the Lord God only. But when they were tempted by the Gentile women, some of them immediately fell into temptations. Even today, there are so many Christians who are tempted. They even say, salvation is given through other religions.
There is no other name which is given salvation. It is in the Bible. It is possible only through Jesus Christ. It is written in the Bible. But there are some Christians who say salvation is possible through other religions. It is a scary thing. It will be like a plague which will spread out to the souls, and people will be stained. You should never compromise with it. In this church, that has never happened, and you should not. But you should be careful, and you should be on the alert all the time. There is no salvation other than through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the message of the cross, you should know how sin entered and how the human cultivation began. Through any other name than the Lord Jesus Christ's name, there is no salvation. So they were immediately falling into temptations. They so easily betrayed God by bowing down to the Gentile gods. Because of this, 24,000 people had died as the result of the plague. After this, God ordered the census of Israel for the second time. At the first census, they counted only men who were 20 years or older. They had this first census at the wilderness of Sinai, about 40 years from the time when they first began their wilderness life. Since one generation had already passed away in the 40 years, the population had to increase by at least two times. At least two times. For 40 years, do you think a wife and a husband could give birth to just one child? No. But the result of the census indicated that there were 1,820 fewer people than the first census. But from Numbers chapter 26, verses 63 to 65, we can see that it was not just 1,820 people less than the first census. Because it says, these are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest. Who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord has said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And not a man was left of them, except Caleb and the sons of Jephunneh, the Joshua, the son of Nun. It tells us that only two out of the 603,550 men of the first generation of the Exodus remained until the end of the era of blessing into the promised land of Canaan. Church workers should realize a very important lesson from this. If you don't completely cast off your sinful natures, it's not easy to keep yourself from temptations. When we go into the Canaan sanctuary and receive abundant blessings, we should not follow the example of the sons of Israel. You should never put yourself at ease thinking that it's all finished now. But rather, you have to strengthen the clean and spiritual heart with which you will not compromise with any unrighteousness, but will think only in the truth. It's because we have to keep on marching forward until we build the grand sanctuary and reveal the glory of God throughout all the earth. I urge you, church workers, to have the goal of going into the Canaan sanctuary after accomplishing the whole Spirit in you. I also urge you to vigorously march forward towards this goal this year. Dear church workers and members, at this time, I spoke to you about what we should do to march towards the goal of this church given by God the Father. First, you should trust the shepherd and obey him. Second, you should work faithfully and united as one by helping one another according to each of your talents. Last, you should strengthen your spiritual heart so that you will not compromise with any kind of unrighteousness and you will think only in the truth. Since Israelites didn't do like this, a plague came upon them and so many people died in an instant. The same applies to these days. Some people commit the works of the flesh and they are stricken with serious diseases. If you commit the works of the flesh, most of the people get cancer. If they can be forgiven after they repent, then they may be stricken with lung disease. If their sin is lighter than this, then they may get sick with some other stuff. Because I have seen so many people, I can roughly guess. Father God, give you a chance of repentance. Father God gives you an opportunity to repent and turn back from the sin. But if Father God considers you an illegitimate child, then He doesn't even give you the discipline. I committed this kind of work of the flesh, so am I an illegitimate child? Don't consider yourself. You should know yourself well. If you try really hard to repent and turn back, then if you try really hard to live by the Word of God, then there is no reason to be disciplined. Because without the discipline, without the punishment, you can live by the Word of God. So when you listen to this kind of message, are you afraid? Are you not? When I give you this kind of message, you should be thankful. You should be thankful if you are the one who lives by the Word of God. If you are not, then you are given an opportunity to repent and turn back. Because of that, you should be thankful. If I tell you this, then the sin will spread to other members. And it is even more faster among the young people. That's why Father God, you know, makes me say this kind of stuff over and over again. Moses gave the words of warning to his people again and again. If you read the Bible, you will be discarded if you worship idols. Through the people of God, Father God gave, you know, the word of warnings to many people. And those prophets even were stoned to death. They were beaten to death. Deacon Stephen was stoned to death even though he was telling his people not to sin. If I can just give the word of blessing only, receive blessing, receive the Holy Spirit, well, there is a way. I mean, there is a certain way how to receive blessing, how to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I don't mention, if I don't give that kind of word of warnings to people, then this church will see great revival. But what is the use if we have the members just like chaff? I do all things to get good grains and blow away chaffs and to make you good grains, change you into good grains. What is the use to have, you know, chaff Christians? Young people and members love me still, even if I repeat this word again and again. This is the way of salvation. If I don't love you with all my life, I will just give you pleasing word. If you cultivate these 3 points in you, you will be able to overcome any kind of obstacle and just keep on marching. Joshua 23:10 says, "One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you." And this church, since the start of this church, Father God has fought for us. We never argued to anyone. We never complained. We have done nothing. But there have been people who always fought for us. And we saw the people who persecuted this church have went to the way of death. If we become one in faith and love and faithfulness, God the Father will be pleased with us and He will be with us. Then we will march on without any hindrance until we actually achieve the God-given goals. May you receive on the day when all our goals are achieved the commendation of God the Father, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things, so now I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your Master." In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. If you read the parable of talents, the one with 5 talents, the one with 2 talents, the one with 1 talent. The one who was given 1 talent stayed there. Those who came to me to receive my prayer are like this one. They were not faithful to their duty. They neglected their duty. And Father God eventually neglected them, ignored them, because they neglected their God-given duty, even though they were called the children of God. Even though read the parable of the people who were given talents, then you may see why you are getting sick. Soon, you know, people came to me to repent with repentance letter. They said that, you know, they were lazy doing their duties. You should never do that. Don't do it. The talents that Father God gave you, precious talent, precious duty, how can you neglect them in the world? Let's say, if you are a government official, You try so hard to get promoted, to be acknowledged. They try so hard. Even in a business, even at work site, in order to be promoted, they do all kinds of things. They work so hard to get promoted. I cannot understand the rank of a business. Well, in prosecutor's office, so many different organizations have different rank system. In some organization, a deputy is higher than the director. But in other business, a director is higher position than deputies. So when you listen to my question, I mean, when I ask a question, you have to listen to me very carefully. Well, it's actually better than not, you know, not saying anything, okay? In order to get promoted, so many people in the world tried their best. Even for God's kingdom, you are given a duty for God's kingdom. How can you neglect your duty? How can you keep the talent that you are given from God and just keep it without any interest? All the church workers, cell leaders, vice cell leaders, all the group leaders, presidents and vice presidents. Let's march forward. Become one. In 2009, we have many things. We have many church-wise things and projects. We have Congo Crusade in April. It was originally planned to become a women's seminar. So the first ladies of many countries would try to attend. But now, it is more than women's seminar. It is changed. So when you prepare for it, you have to arrange everything well. It changed into a great size, huge mega size crusade. The president of Mamim Prayer Center is coming. So they are preparing a huge size seminar. At the end of April or the beginning of May, the construction of prayer center will start. More and more people cannot go to hospital because of their financial status. So we should build the Mamim Prayer Center well. And we should start the construction of Canaan Sanctuary soon. I made the research. There is no other church which can hold the people as our Canaan Sanctuary will. The full gospel church can hold 9,000 in main sanctuary. And other newly built sanctuaries, buildings, and churches It is 20,000 at most. But in one church building in Canaan Sanctuary, we have like 70,000 seats. It will become the biggest church in the world. And we should do it as one. And there are many other projects because it is the year of blessing. That's why Father God wants all the workers of the church to become one, united. Elders, pastors, deacons and deaconesses, and senior deaconesses. All the members of the church should become united as one. And we should establish the Manmin International Seminary at each country and spread this gospel sanctification to the whole world. Starting from this year, it will happen. Let us repeat. All the church workers of Manmin Central Church will become one. And march forward, march forward, and march forward. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's think over the messages. Let's think over this message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your love and grace. Let your message become, make your message of today become life and faith in our hearts. Let us unite as one and let us march forward. First, we have to trust and obey the shepherd. And we should work faithfully until as one, united as one, by helping one another according to each of our talents. And we should strengthen our spiritual heart so that we will not compromise with any kind of unrighteousness, and we will think only in the truth. Please work on us, Father. Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'll pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or infirmities of your body, and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, God the Father, please lay your hand on these people. Give them power, power, power. Transcending space and time, please work on these people. And those people who are attending this service through the satellites and internet, and the members of the branch churches around the world, and all the GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers, lay your hand on them. And all the missionaries and servants of God in overseas countries, and all the devotees of this devotional service, please lay your hand on them and give them wisdom and understanding, and give them the fullness and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and let them become spiritually healthy, and from head to toe and every intestines and organs and nerve system, burn all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit and let them become healthy in spirit and body. From Congo, Pastor Peter Kim requested prayer to have a good meeting with many denominations so that the crusade with President of Manmin Prayer Center will become a blessed crusade. He is going to have the handkerchief prayer meeting from February 18th to 22nd. And then please give them a good weather and let many good souls attend the meeting. Pastor David Lee from Kenya requested prayer for his 3-day fasting 7 times. He would like to become the true blessing, the vessel for true blessing. And he also requested prayer for the mission in Africa and for the Bible. And he also requested prayer for the senior pastors Israel Crusade and the Congo Crusade. And Yang Wanpu requested prayer for the fasting. Please help him so that he can get rid of every form of evil and let him become a man of promise. Please, Father, give them blessing. Give them blessing, Father. Let all the members become healthy from head to toe in every intestines and organs and nerve system. Burn all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let them see well, let them hear well, let them speak well. All the cancers, lung diseases, and all kinds of diseases go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of diseases go away. Become cleansed. High blood pressure, diabetes, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Blood pressure, become normal. All the internal diseases, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Skin diseases, go away. But please, lay your hand on these people so that their bad eyes can come to have good eyesight. Let them have good eyesight, Father. Please give answer to their prayers and desires. If you can, nothing is impossible to those who believe. It is the year of blessing. Please give them blessing so that they can give glory to you, Father. Let all the church workers united as one and achieve the goal. Father, thank you. Bless them during this week. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.